Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 208, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Somebody hit me on Twitter and said, it sounds like you're saying Der Daily Zeitgeist at the beginning of the show every time. I was like, huh. You sure you're listening, man? Yeah, listen up a little closer. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, October 28th, 2021, which of course means it is Natal Internal Medicine Day?
National.
Oh, I thought, come on, man.
Yo, natal.
Natal? I mean, when most of your interactions with the medical industrial complex revolve around babies, that's how I'm going to read that shit.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. No, national. Sorry.
Natal and internal medicine. I was like, wow, specific and depressing. Yeah. But yeah, National Internal Medicine. Of course, it is National First Responders Day. And I feel like this one happens maybe once a week, but it's National Chocolate Day. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jark O'Bruckerzerg. Got that from the what your name would be if your name was Mark Zuckerberg name generator.
What?
Yeah.
They have that?
Nah, I just made that up.
I can
Zuckerbergify your name if you're interested. I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray, or Markles Gruck-Zainberg.
Thank you so much. It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Pringles are real crunchy, gonna eat them with some Reese's. Pringles are real crunchy, gonna eat them with some Reese's. Pour those Reese's in my bag. Stacking candies makes me glad, but a starburst makes me frown. Though my teeth start to decay, Pringles and Reese's every day. Hope that my friend will wanna trade. Okay, shout out to Jill of All Trades on Discord for that wonderful President of the United States of America, Peaches Inspired, aka.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that song. So yeah. I love it when people hit me with that construction.
I mean, if I was going to offer a light critique, I would say that of the potato chips, I feel like Pringles are the last one I would kind of pair, because Pringles turn into just like a soft potato meal once they're inside your mouth. But, nobody fucking asked me.
It feels like a like it's not it's like a like the communion wafer's sexy cousin. Yeah. What a Pringle is.
Yeah. You know, like, that is definitely made from like a blended up light slurry.
You know, because that when you take the Eucharist, you know, you accept the body of Christ. That's light and airy, you know, and that kind of reminds me of a Pringle, which is no seasoning on it.
Yeah. That's how they came up with it.
I think it says that in the Bible, right? It's like the Eucharist must be a light.
Once you pop, you cannot stop.
The body
comes
of
to the BOC, as they call it, the body
BOC?
Of Christ. Yeah, but I think Pringles got hit because they don't have much potato in them. It's a lot of
all
starch, flour, other. File under the ingredient category of other. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the hottest young stand-up comedians and margarita aficionados in the nation.
Yeah.
He's at the top of both lists. You've seen him on Conan, Last Comic Standing, Bill Burr's Comedy Central stand-up show, The Ringers. And he filmed his first Comedy Central special in 2021. You may also know him as the winner of the title of wittiest in the Franklin County High School's 2009 yearbook. Please welcome the brilliant, the talented Caleb Sinek!
Hello! Oh, man. With that intro, it sounds like it's going to be somebody better than me.
No.
But it's just me.
Right on point.
You earned it all.
And we started off with some religious talk. Because don't you have a religious background?
Oh, yeah. My dad's a preacher.
Right,
son of a preacher, man.
Yeah,
that's right.
Quite literally.
Boy, that song was not accurate. We're talking up a big game for 60 years.
They're like, "Oh, I heard about the sons of preachers." You're like, "Nah, I don't know if I can touch you as tenderly as that."
The reality is,
it's a lot of. He's just like a real giving, tender lover. Is that the son of the preacher man in that? In that song?
I mean, we're probably not even a lover. You know what I mean? It's just like. we're all nice, but it's like, it's not, we're the guys you date in the first half of a romantic comedy before you meet the real guy that you need.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is it who Meg Ryan really fucks over in Sleepless in Seattle? Is it? It's one of the Bills. I think Pullman maybe.
Yeah. Bill Pullman, Greg Kinnear's. That's our.
Yeah.
Our,
that's who it is. Greg.
You don't end up with the son of a preacher, man.
I always felt bad for that dude. Like, all he did was, like, have allergies.
Right.
And, like, he was really, really nice. And also, like, the kindest person ever when she was like, "Hey, so I'm kind of in love with this guy who's not you, who I've never met, but I got to go see." And he's like, "Do it." Yeah, absolutely.
See, what a good guy. What a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't people go after that guy?
Yeah, exactly. Your Caleb Sinens of the world, you know?
Yeah, we're out here, you know? We don't really have many skills, but we're nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're nice, and we have a lot of guilt. So come on by.
Come on by. You have guilt for three of us.
Yeah. I was just going to say, the thing, like, I always heard about Catholic guilt, and I was like, that, like, they're acting like, "Oh, we're the guiltiest." And I'm like, come on, man. I'm from the South, too. I got here. Southern guilt. I got all of it.
Right.
Yeah. Catholics they love drama. They want to be, you know, persecuted. So
I've had it with Catholics.
Am I right? Thank you.
Who's with me?
first we make fun of the BOC and then I talk shit about Catholics.
Taking shots at the papacy. What's up, dude?
I know. All right. Well, Caleb or Carbel Mac Sinek's Gerb. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Yeah.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about, that we're going to talk about. The pipe dream, the ultimate pipe dream of America, the taxing of the rich.
Oh, I thought you said free guns for dogs. But yeah,
that is actually way more accurate. We're going to talk about Facebook and Dear Leader, if we have time. We're going to talk about Fox Weather just launched, everyone. Fox News' weather channel, baby.
Computer. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It fits nicely into their portfolio because Fox News ignores and exacerbates climate change, which leads to horrifying storms, which then they get to cover on Fox Weather, which, you know, it's a money-making machine. So we'll talk about that vision, all of that. Plenty more, but first,
Caleb, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, friend?
It's so horrific. Because I always forget about that question, so I look back through it, and then I'm like, okay, can't say that one.
Right.
Can't say. It's all very embarrassing. Like,
yeah.
Can I microwave an egg? Like, dumb stuff. Where you're like, oh, this is revealing too much. One of them was Dennis Prager Young, and I was like, there's no. It was like, because he got COVID and he looked like shit, and I was like, did he always look like shit? So I wanted to see him. But I'm just like, this is how I'm spending my time.
Yeah.
A lot of them were just me to see what was online about me. So yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible search history. It's very, very embarrassing.
Was Dennis Prager a snack? Speaking of microwaved egg.
I mean,
he looked like a microwave egg.
I mean, he looks the same. He looks the same.
Damn.
Temple of Doom shirtless was on there. I just, for some reason, I can't remember, probably at a bar, and I was like, oh, no one was hotter than Harrison Ford in the 80s. And they're like, no, Ryan Gosling. And then it was just like, I don't know why I was in a fight that I had to prove who had the best
was
abs.
Was their argument Ryan Gosling in the 80s? Because that would have been problematic.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, that's why we Googled Dennis Prager Young after that. Cleanse that timeline.
Yeah.
100%.
What is something you think is overrated?
Ooh, work. That was a no-brainer. For some reason, my algorithm got a bunch of this hard work posts where it's like, it'll be a picture of Jeff Bezos, like, pointing at the camera, and it's like, work hard, do push-ups, start a business, turn off your phone, read a book, build a house, fuck you. And it was just like, like, did you wake up poor today, bitch? And I'm like, no, I hate work. I'm glad more people are realizing it's a waste of your life, and get out of here with all that work shit. Done with it.
Yeah.
So that subreddit is popping.
The hate work subreddit?
The anti-work one. Yeah. I mean, because I think as more people become so disillusioned with, you know, like the just vile reality of like living in capitalism, it's like you really do like, wait, why the fuck? What's the work for?
And horrible. And, horrible. The first day I had a job.
Necessary?
Yeah. It's so sad. I can't. I remember literally I was 15 the first day I like worked somewhere.
Right.
Or I think I was just about to turn 60, whatever the law was. It was that day at midnight.
Right.
And
right.
My parents were like, get to work. And I worked at
woke you up.
Yeah. Get to IA. Come on. It's not illegal anymore. And so I went to work at this grocery store, and it was like I had an hour left in my shift, and I went to the bathroom, and I just like looked out the window at the moon. Like, this is can't be what life is. Work. Oh, right. Like I was so sad.
I'm 15. Like,
Yeah,
right.
Bullshit. Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah. So no more work.
Yeah, fuck work. I did. It's
all right. Let's just turn off the mics, dude.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Well, I mean, so
isn't work. This is fun,
right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the blessing,
yourself, man. I gotta see this guy every day. You know?
No, well, fucking can't believe the shit this guy says. We have to cut out of the show. Anyway, what are you saying, Caleb? Yeah, we love it here. What?
Yeah.
No, anything you can do over Zoom, I don't consider. I when I think of work, I think of stacking stuff, picking something up that's heavy.
Oh yeah, trust me. I constantly in my mind, I'm like thinking of what my ancestors on both my Japanese and Black sides think of me being a podcaster, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
they're laughing their asses off at me. They're laughing their asses off. And then my therapist is like, don't you think that they would also be like relieved that you don't have to engage in the labor they had to? Like, that's part of their hope for their future generation. I'm like, yeah, maybe. But like, I still hear my grandfather laugh.
No, they don't like me.
No, they think I'm stupid.
They're mad at me.
They're mad at me. They're fucking mad at me. You know how. Well,
they're mad, but your grandchildren are going to be like talking you up like crazy. Like, oh, he came to this country with $8,000 in his Patreon in a dream, and he had it. Him and his co-hosts, you know, they were doing ad reads before you could. And, oh man, it's gonna be epic.
They were improvising ad reads when they used to be verbatim reads. It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, we should mercy kill grandpa before the climate wars start.
That's right.
I was talking about that with my friend who's like about to become a father. I'm like, do you ever just think of like how they might have to put us out of like put us to pasture to survive like when push comes to shove in like 60 years?
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, I'll be in the pasture. I don't want to be doing nothing.
Yeah, I'll be like, look,
put me in that pasture, baby.
I'm going to go with the other grandpas up to the mountain. Yeah. We're just going to watch old YouTube clips till we die. It'll be fun.
If you need me, I'll be out behind the barn with a gun in my mouth, just waiting for you guys to come through. Just in case, you know, it's your call.
But we gamed it out to the point where like, well, what if you just had a cyanide capsule in like one of your dentures? So then like when that moment came, you could look at your kids and be like, I'm doing this for me.
Right.
And then you're like... And then they don't have to live with having to put their elderly grandparents to pasture.
Honestly, that's polite. That's what grandparents should do. Get that cyanide capsule and your reverse mortgage and take yourself out.
Get your cyanide dentures, your reverse mortgage.
Get your commemorative coin.
I do wonder what having seen the baby boomers growing old as badly and as selfishly as they have will do to like future generations of people, like the elderly, if we're just gonna be like, man, that sucked, like just don't,
right? Don't, like don't they're worry gonna about ruin us. Like the elderly brand, because people like the predominating memory is gonna be of boomers, not like the silent generation or like some of our grandparents, like, oh, grandpa. And then that hatred will extend to the elder, the truly geriatric millennials, when it's our time. Like you're fucking boomer. And I'm like, what? I was born in the 80s.
There's like a counter narrative in mental health that like talks about how the old, like people's happiness generally improves with age.
Right.
And but like we don't pay attention to that because they like actually get, you know, they turn into things that like capitalism can't use. So we just kind of shunt them off to rooms where we don't have to look at them. Mm-hmm. But
and they're happy about that.
No, they're
not
happy.
About that.
Definitely. How are they happy?
What's your secret? I was put in a broom closet.
Like you figure out how to work your brain and ignore the things that you need to ignore to be happy, I guess. Oh, but wow. I do feel like that's definitely not coming through with the baby boomer generation as they all just like descend into, you know, fox poisoned brain territory.
Oh, I know. It's not a good time. Like, remember when old people would watch Matlock and MASH and like, some Don Knotts thing. You didn't know why that was on. But now they're mad. They just go to sleep mad every night. Like, what are you doing?
You're
listening to Mark Levin yell at you for 5 hours a day. What?
I love it. You're like, really?
Why are you so? Watch something nice, you know, go to the beach.
I mean, happier.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, go to the beach so you can see these socialist teens dressed up like God knows what. These kids, kids are confused. They don't know what's going on anymore. Can't go anywhere.
I know. It's like they think they work at Congress. They're like, oh, I got to listen to this bill. Let me read this bill. It's like you worked your whole life. Why don't you chill out? Why are you retiring to watch Fox News?
Well, every other indicator has shown me I'm completely out of control. So this is the one thing I've tricked myself into thinking I can control.
Yeah. I wish they would read the fucking bills. Instead, they just, you know, take Tucker Carlson's word for it or dude on Facebook. What is something you think is underrated?
Oh, I've been talking about this. This is the best discovery I made during lockdown was the... People always talk about, ooh, is John Lennon better than Paul McCartney? And it's the whole thing is a smokescreen. George Harrison has been better than all of them this whole time. Mm. And nobody knows. Nobody knew. But yeah, he is the best by a lot. And check him out. He's on Spotify, wherever you listen to music. This guy's great. Check him out. Way better than the other guys.
That was dangerously close to a like piece of branded content for George Harrison. Like you even had the tag wherever.
Yeah, he's long dead, but check him out.
Yeah,
good stuff.
What were the Beatles songs that he wrote? I feel like there's
something more. Which Frank Sinatra called the greatest love song of the 20th century.
Right.
And While My Guitar Gently Weeps, a lot of great bangers, and check him out.
Let It Be.
I don't know if he did that.
But I just did George Harrison Beatles songs.
It's like all of them.
Right. Wow. Hey, Jude.
Yeah. Meet like, the
I'm
Beatles.
Pretty sure that was Paul.
He did that one, Me and Yoko in the Bed for a while.
Right, right.
I'm the Drummer. All those classic Beatles. Yeah, but he wrote
Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah, Here Comes the Sun. Very good for a shower. Nice for an evening stroll.
Yeah.
But very relaxing. If you're stressed out during these tough times, give George Harrison a listen.
Long, long, long from the White Album. Yeah, these are among their best. Here Comes the Sun is my kid's favorite Beatles song at the moment.
And oh, really?
So good.
Yeah.
I always watch from the concert for Bangladesh, when Billy Preston comes out to do That's the Way God Planned It. I think that's one of my favorite like live performances of a musician ever. But it's weird. YouTube took it down years ago, so I always have to go to like Daily Motion to just catch that clip.
But yeah, and it's hard to find that album anywhere.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the deal with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Woo!
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And And we're back. And the second pipe dream of America, the one that's in second place between giving dogs free guns, is the idea that one day we might be able to tax the rich and use that money to help the rest of the country. And it's actually being discussed right now. How's that going, Miles?
It's a huge part of the fucking Biden agenda, and no one's fucking on board with anything, these Democrats. So Joe Manchin recently made it clear that he's hearing about this new thing. He's like, taxing billionaires. He's like, oh, I got concerns about that. I don't know about targeting people, as he said. Okay, because it's the 700 wealthiest individuals in the country. I just wonder his actual quote around it, because he's OMG, very scared. Quote, I don't like it. I don't like the connotation that we're targeting different people. Huh. That's a very interesting statement. And, you know, we have Kyrsten Sinema, who has told, I think we discussed, lobbyists out loud to their face, straight up, I'm not interested in raising taxes on corporations and things like that. But there seems to be some movement, because Senators Wyden, Warren, and King have introduced two bills to help pay for a potentially transformational agenda. And I say potentially because, like, anything that starts out as a bill being introduced can be completely stripped away down to absolute nothing, or it'll get held up in courts where they will have to redefine things like income, or accountants can just find even better loopholes. But putting that aside, let's pretend that for this moment of positivity, that this could potentially go through the way it is. So the first bill is aimed at taxing the wealthiest companies, who, you know, they've been afforded the luxury of an absolutely nonsense tax code that allows them to basically pay nothing on their profits. So what this bill specifically would do would apply to companies that report more. Again, so before you start grasping your small business pearls, we're talking about companies who have been generating more than $1 billion in profits each year. This is who we're talking about, the super wealthy companies. And this is over a 3-year period, and would impose an across-the-board 15% tax rate on those profits. Now, when you consider things like Amazon, how they effectively pay less than 5% on their profits through all the legal fuckery and tax trickery, going to 15% I think would be a pretty good place to start. And so that's sort of the first dimension, is to go after companies. The second is to go at individual earners. And this is where Joe Manchin doesn't like the idea of just singling people out, like the 700 wealthiest fucking Americans in the country.
Well, it might hurt their feelings. It hurts people's feelings.
And listeners, and I'm sure all the listeners know someone like this. We all have a friend who makes more than $100 million per year, and they have more than $1 billion in assets for 3 straight years. We get that. We're like, dude, that's my neighbor.
Right.
Relax on this guy. So this thing would essentially be like, look, this is who we really need to make sure are paying the fucking taxes. I require them to give the IRS a detailed account of how much of the assets they own or gain lost each year. It's called mark to market, apparently, in lingo terms.
So like the way that we talked before about how they avoid is that it's a lot of their money is tied up in stocks, right? And so they just keep it in the stock markets and in real estate, and then they don't have to pay taxes like the rest of us. But they can borrow against the fact that they have $300 billion, you know, like that they'll still get any loan at the best possible rate, which enables them to just have basically unlimited money.
Isn't that that's the funniest excuse I've ever heard? Like, I can't be all my money's tied up in stocks. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
That's like, I can't pay taxes. All my money's in my pocket. What, do you want me to get it out of there?
That's not fair. I didn't even use it.
Someone took all my money and put it in stocks. I don't know how I'll ever get, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right. Government. And because you're not paying capital gains until they're realized, right? Until you sell your stocks or you sell your real estate, that's when capital gains come in. So again, like you're saying, Jack, you need some fun money to go fucking P-jet around and fuck the earth over and spend, you know, your luxurious lifestyle. You just take loans out against your already massive wealth. And then now you can take the interest payments that you from that loan to offset any other income taxes that you would have. So it's just a fucking, it's a beautiful setup. And the way, the really, the easy way to sort of put this into perspective is, right, because they're able to do these things, like say, I park my money in the stock market, so I don't have to pay anybody fucking anything. And it just chills there. For example, in 2018, the top 25 individual earners in the United States were over worth over $1 trillion. It would take over 14 million just wage-earning Americans, not to say that you're on hourly wages, but people who aren't just like hyper-wealthy, 14 million, over 14 million just normal people to create that wealth, to get to $1.1 trillion. Now, the tax bill for wage earners was $143 billion. From those people, from just the wage earners in the United States. The personal federal tax bill for the top 25, $1.9 billion. Because of all this, all these loopholes to exploit. And we wonder why, like, all these, we have no money for, like, you know, transformational programs, because we're more and more accommodating class of people to find ways to just keep their money very safe. So, again, this would be a very interesting move forward, because I think it'll force, I'm sure people find new loopholes, but to not engage in at least the beginning of trying to lock this thing down and try and get a handle on income inequality or just inequality in general.
Yeah.
Wow, we got to stop calling them loopholes. That's a cutesy name for a evil crime.
You're lying.
You're a cheating shit. What are you
snuck
doing?
Through a loophole.
It's a loophole. Loopy, loopy, loop. Hey, come on. Look what I found. A loophole. It's just like, stop. People are dying.
A loop-de-doo.
People are starving and sleeping on the street.
Just because of all the little IRS taxi loopies? No. People in my community aren't dying because of lack of resources. Just because of a little loopy?
It's a little loophole. Come on. I didn't put the loophole there.
And I think, and we saw through the Pandora Papers just exactly how this is all working. Like, there's so much wealth out there that is not being taxed, and they're laughing their asses off because it's so easy to get. It's not even hard to do because we're not even taking the initiative to be like, okay, we're not going to, it can't be this easy. It has to be just slightly easy.
Dude, I got bumped up to first class for the first time a couple weeks ago on a flight. And let me tell you,
congratulations.
I've never been so mad at rich people. The fact this is just their life all the time.
Yeah.
Pay your taxes. You get to fly first class. It's the nicest thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, then it's also like, whenever you think about it, like, I remember a time I got upgraded on an international flight. I thought I was the fucking Claw from Toy Story was coming to take me away. Like a promise. Like, yes, please. And when you go there, I'm like, shit, yeah, I'm in the fucking seat that costs $3,500 for a one-way ticket to.
And
then you look around and you're like, I'm like almost want to like rob the person next to me. Like, yo, bro, you paid $3,500 for this? What the fuck are you doing? Let me run your fucking pockets real quick. Yeah. Like, it's also, it's like kind of does your head in that sense too, because you'll be in the proximity of like, you're just like, holy shit, man, this is a different reality. It's like, these people spend thousands of dollars to just even go to like New York. And I'm like, dude, where's the fucking update alert when I can get it for like 200?
Yeah.
Right. And what are you doing? Okay. If flying to New York and for $1,000 is nothing to you, what are you making in New York? They're about to go to New York and like burn down an entire neighborhood for Raytheon or whatever evil people do. Cause man, that's crazy to me.
I test crowd disbursement technology. Okay,
get off my back. So I work for the people. I work with people. That's what I do.
Yeah, working like just finding out like just specific people's pain points and like working through those. I create terror weapons and evil carceral technologies.
Right.
Yeah. I invented waterboarding in 1996.
Yeah. kind of a goof with me and my frat brothers.
Yeah.
And one of them ended up at the CIA and asked if he could kind of pay me for intellectual property on that. And now I'm here flying.
What
first
percentage
class to New York.
Of CIA torture techniques came like directly in a pipeline from Yale frat hazing? Like, I'm almost positive it's like mostly just skull and bones shit that they're like, oh, remember that time when we did that to Bushy?
Yeah. Like, hey, remember that time we got that Al-Qaeda cell and then we put him in that CIA black site interrogation room, put an 8-ball of cocaine on the table and said, you don't come out till this is done. And then we interrogated him. Yeah, they were all over the place, huh?
So I like this story just made me like, because the outrage isn't there. Like the, it doesn't feel like we're mad enough about just the overall state of like how little these assholes pay. And I wonder if like one of the things that we've talked about that is unique about the American tax system is that like we have to do the taxes. Like in other countries, they just send you a bill and they're like, hey, this, we figured out how much you owe. This is what you owe. So just send us a check.
Yeah.
And right. In America, we have these like forms. They basically put the like mindless, just awful bureaucratic work on us so yeah. that we have to do it. And I'm just wondering if they do that so that when like the subject of taxation comes up, we're like, our brain just turns off. We're just like, fuck. Like, or we're also like more empathetic to other people who have to pay taxes. Like paying taxes is such an awful thing that we're just like, yeah, don't tax them more. Like that's mean. Taxes bad, you know?
Right.
Like because it doesn't make sense other than just that TurboTax is like lobbying them. But like, it, yeah. I feel like the way that we'll never get Medicare or Medicare for All because they, you know, like being able to make people feel like they'd die if they left their job. Like that's, you know, I think there's like psychological conveniences at work in a lot of the shit that they do that kind of keeps the system in place.
That's one thing that's so weird to figure out where you're like, oh, if I don't work, I'll die.
Right.
Like, I'll starve and then I'll die.
Yeah, no, go ahead and leave your job and then you won't have health insurance and you could die and in dying bankrupt your family and all future generations.
And then we got to have taxes. So they've managed to convince people, okay, right. We need taxes. Who should we get it from? The people with money or the people without it? And they've actually convinced people like, no, the people without it should pay, right. Not the people. Yeah. I'm a job creator.
Yeah,
why let me take it from you? Like, what? Yeah. How? How do we not take it from the rich guy? What are we doing?
They're like $1,000 to someone who makes like, $40K a year. That's nothing to take away from them. But right. then if I got to pay $1,000,000, that's so much money. Are you serious?
Think about that.
Don't think of it being a proportion of my overall wealth either. Just $1,000,000 objectively as a number's too high. Right. Stupid. Not doing it. But yeah, it's just all so very complicated. And yeah, like it's funny you talk about like just the barbaric nature of like capitalism too, because you see all these like memes now that are people like quitting on their bosses, like text capture threads. And like so many of the replies from when they're like, hey, you got to come in, this person's not coming in, they're like, no, I told you I needed this time off. Their first thread is like, think about your health insurance or like some weird shit that. Always, and you're like, yeah, of course, because that's the, like, they're just articulating the whole grift here, which is, yeah, so it's the threat of death.
Right.
If you don't give us your labor.
Yeah. Oh, they call it a taut labor market versus a like labor market with some slack in it. And we currently are giving them a taut labor market where, you know, they can't find enough laborers to fill all the jobs. And that is, they're like, what the fuck is going on?
They will be taught a fucking lesson.
A fucking lesson.
I used to have to, every job I had where I'd have to go by and get the check on payday when I wasn't working, I would always make sure to wear something that was impossible to work in case they were like, oh, while you're here. So I would wear like a Hawaiian shirt and flip flops and a fucking, you know, like a cowboy hat.
Speedos. I was like,
you are not getting me to work today.
Right. No right.
Way.
That's smart. Man. I used to just run in and out. Like I would call. I'd be like, yo, like on that Friday, like, yo, the check's in. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. They're like, all right, I'm gonna come up real quick. I'm like, is Mark there? Like the owner? They're like, no. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah. Cause I thought of it like the boss was like half teacher, half parent. Like I thought I had to. Like if they say work, I gotta do it. So I can't let them even ask.
Right. And it's funny. Like if are we taught that from an early age, you know, to be as subordinate as possible? Hey, it depends on what party you're in. The reasons could be different, but yeah.
Yeah. But other countries, I feel like, have healthier relationships. And the big difference is that their bosses don't hang the, hey, think about your health insurance. Think about your family getting sick and making it so you have to move.
That coercive shit's everywhere, though, you know.
Like, oh, for sure. It's like, just the laws there don't allow that for the most part.
Right, right. Like, or you could be like in the case like Japan where they're like, we actually need to legislate to get people to work less hard.
Right.
Because it's destroying right. the population.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk Facebook. Let's talk about the boss, Mark, who we're all trying to avoid. Because
I don't want to work today, Mark.
You know, the company seems like they've lost control of the product.
Right.
There are thousands of pages of internal documents that were provided to Congress that provide, like, they basically have all this data on the harms they cause with all of their products. And, like, it just shows exactly how they document the harm. They pretend to do something about the harm, but then they slow walk or sideline efforts to address real harms that, you know, they've caused or created or magnified. And there's a good example. There's this New York Times story about their decision to, or like they started to test the idea of removing the like button from Instagram. I think a lot of people remember that. And it's just like, it's a great example of how this was a front page New York Times story. The New York Times just covered it as though, hey, Facebook was trying to like address these harms that they saw. They just took the like button away from Instagram and people didn't like it for some reason. And it's like, that is a terrible, like half-assed solution that was designed to fail and prove that they have no choice but to like bait people and make them angry. It's just
right.
like over and over in all these papers in every example where there is harm that is being caused by Facebook, but that is also making Facebook a more effective like ad platform, which is essentially what they are. They will, like, the energy is behind making money and raising the stockholder prices. There's no energy behind the people who are bringing solutions to the table. So they'll hire these really experienced people with great ideas. And then those people will either, you know, they'll never fire them, but those people will just immediately realize like what a load of shit it is and how much they don't give a fuck about any of this and quit and then become whistleblowers, which is the part of their plan that hasn't exactly worked out. But yeah, and their stock price, you know, it was also reported last week that they are giving a global platform to, you know, anti-vax doctors who are spreading disinformation. Their accounts have grown by like 13,000%.
Oh my God.
And that's 13,000% since Facebook identified it as a problem and like banned these like anti-vax doctors had like grouped together. They had an organization. Facebook banned the organization's page, but they didn't ban any of the like members of the page whose accounts then just like exploded and have resulted. Like, one of the leaders of the group is a PhD in immunology from the University College Dublin, who instructed people on like all that. She's like stepping into the like realm of like legally advising people on sovereign citizen bullshit. She was apparently consulting the people who stole a COVID patient out of the hospital.
What?
Yeah.
Because they were like, you guys are killing him. We need to like...
They're like, he's going to die here. He's like, come with us. Come with us. And then that guy died.
Yeah.
Like,
then that guy was rushed back to the hospital a day later and died.
What?
And
don't steal patients. How hard is that?
That video's fucked up, dude. This guy is so desperate and confused. This old, he's like, no, come with us. And they're like, sir, like the doctor's like, we really are telling you should not leave. And he's like, and he's like, come with. And the guy's like, come with us if you want to live. And it's like, what are you fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, what are you doing? Whatever happened to idiots staying home? Stay home and be a fucking moron. Don't go stealing patients. Keep your ideas in your head.
The internet happened, man.
Yeah. Facebook just.
because you can find an audience and you're like, maybe I'm not wrong.
Right.
Because these other people agree. Uh-oh.
Let's bring back laziness. Be a lazy yes. QAnon person.
Thank you.
Stay home.
Stay retired. Stay
home and watch TV.
You know, yeah. As all of this information's coming out, you know, Facebook's been having one of the worst weeks in company history, like as in the history of any company. Mm-hmm. 50 news stories have laid out Facebook's utter failures to police its own platform. And their share price was rising at the beginning of this week. So it's exactly like the central problem is that all they care about is shareholder prices, and all the shareholders care about is the things that are driving the prices, and they don't give a fuck that they're, you know, breaking the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie about them came out 11 years ago. We've known, like, Facebook is, turns out, and I'm like, turns out? It was right. The number one movie was right. Fuck this company. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's also really, people haven't even begun, or slowly the conversation's just coming out about like Facebook as it relates to India, because India is actually the largest user base for the company, but the United States gets like 87% of the company's like global budget in terms of like time spent on like battling, you know, misinformation. And when you look at what's happening in India and the things that have proliferated on Facebook there, you're like, this is a whole other fucking crisis. But right now, there's so many bad things happening that I'm like, I'm hoping legislators can keep track of it all, because, you know, the effects are just so far reaching.
Yeah.
Shut it off. Can we just shut it off? Like, there's got to be something
like that one Monday.
Shut off. Turn off this website. What does a website have to do to get shut off? Like, come on.
Keep the good parts of connecting people, like with a WhatsApp or like the commerce things where people can actually support themselves. But this whole other shit, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's why we'll see what happens. I mean, this whole week, you know, the Senate is speaking to a lot of people in tech. So we'll see what they make of that.
We need the social network too, because that movie made him look like an asshole, but like a fun asshole who you were kind of like not rooting for, but it was like, you know, you saw the seeds of like what we're seeing come to fruition now. But like, what, that's a great movie. And it's also like, you need to, for the record, show like all the awful shit that has happened since then.
Yeah. And I think that branded him as just like, he's a college student. He's wearing a hoodie. He's not a supervillain. He's just in his dorm room being a college boy. It's like, no, he's a full grown man who's evil and rich and destroying the planet. And he wears the same thing every day.
Hey, man, he drinks Snapple in his dorm room.
Right.
Okay. He's on his way to fucking the earth.
Right.
On my way to destroy
if
everything.
If Hitler just wore a hoodie, he would be like, oh, come on. He's got a hoodie on. What's he going to do? Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, that's dude. Michael Jordan's mustache. He's like just a Bulls fan, probably. Come on. Relax. There needs to be like a downfall type treatment of Facebook. Like, you know, look at the like last days like of Hitler and stuff, where you can just be like, dude, it's a mess. It's pathetic. It's dangerous. There's nothing good going on here. Like, there's no cool track from Garbage doing like a cover of Hotel California or something playing to like make it kind of offset how grim everything is. Like, people really need to see just how, you know, sadly, that's the only way people know how to communicate. It's like, is there a movie that kind of explains how democracy's backsliding across the earth because of Facebook?
I mean, movies and, you know, prestige TV shows are incredibly important for like giving people the imaginary or imaginative vocabulary to understand things. So
I know.
Get it done. We don't need it to be you, fucking, what's his name? Writer.
Sorkin?
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, Sorkin does not need to be a Sorkin joint.
No.
You know, they're fun, but I just unreliable feel like narrator. We would get some.
There'd be some revisionist.
You own the Finsta. What? Sell me a Finsta, and I'll make this all go away. Type shit from him.
Yeah, he completely doesn't understand it. Like Mark Zuckerberg's talking to like Narendra Modi in India, and he's like, "Yes, sell me a Finsta." He's like, "All right, dude, click." And you're like, "You see, That's how it happened.
Dun, dun, dun. Who would be the best director for that? For the writer director, maybe.
Well, it needs to actually be, to get the information out, it should be a real average director who's popular.
Right. Yeah.
If you want people to see it, get who's the guy that makes Fast and the Furious? What's the, that's that guy's name? Do that. Oh, that guy.
The Asian director?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it? James something?
Justin Lin.
Yeah, Justin Lin. Yeah. Justin
get Lin. Justin Lin on it. We'll see it.
But but no, I think, you know, Sam Mendes, because he does like really good, like America's So Fucked Up movies.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
and there's also
they're gut shots when you watch
silent
them.
Evil people, I feel like is
yeah.
A specialty.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that might be interesting.
Because I just think of like, what's like Revolutionary Road?
Oh, God.
That was a fucking neck breaker. I was like, oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, that was tough. That was hard to.
Right. And even like treating like Michael Shannon's character, who was like the like more aware than anyone in that time, like portraying like how everyone was like, oh, he's off. He's disturbed.
Yeah,
like, right. He's kind of seeing the Matrix while all of you are fucking shoving your heads down anyway.
Right.
Yeah. If you see the Matrix, you got to win. You can't come in second.
Or the Wachowskis. Fuck it. The Wachowskis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. The literal
hell yeah. Hell
just
yeah.
To give enough that people are like, fuck.
Wow.
Just to turn it up so you really understand what the fuck's going on.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
But We Loved is a new podcast about queer history coming May 15th. I'm Jordan Gonsalves, your host. Growing up, I thought being gay was the worst thing I could ever be. The gay history I learned was tragic.
Jerry had died of AIDS, and it's like, what is happening?
It was survival. That's why it's called survival sex.
But as I interviewed queer elders, I realized there was another history that I had never been taught, a history of courage and perseverance.
I wanted to take control of my story and not be ashamed of it.
And it was a history full of love.
The joy we found in saying husband again and again and again was incredible.
And while learning this new queer history from my elders, I realized they had so much wisdom to pass down.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
From iHeart Podcasts, I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and this is But We Loved. Listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Fox Weather just launched RIP to the planet Earth. They dumped $10 million into Fox Weather, which is a free ad-supported 24-hour channel you can get either on TV or through an app. And hold on to your butts, guys, because this weather app uses cutting-edge 3D radar and the unprecedented technology Future View that allows you to check the weather several months ahead.
Several fucking months?
It's just amazing that, like, the entire, like, the pitch that they're, like, launching this thing on is just such a blatant lie. It's just a total lie. Like, that's impossible. That's several months ahead is, like, when the butterfly flapping its wings outside my window right now has created a monsoon in India. Like,
and we're not going to tell you what it feels like either. We don't care about your fucking feelings. We're going to tell you what the temperature is, and that's it.
No agenda, no explanation for why your home was lost in a terrible mudslide due to torrential downpours that could have been. Anyway, no politics, just numbers and circles.
Yeah, but meteorologists say, like, anything outside of 2 weeks is not feasible and lower.
Well, George Soros paid them to, to take your weather information from you.
Could you imagine that's what he did? The forecast devolve into? Where it's like, now, if you're living in New York, you already know Soros, you're on whatever he's deciding is going to happen up there. Now, when we go into the Southeast, it's like, what the fuck is this?
I do.
All the Black Lives Matter rallies have created a heat wave.
Yeah. Like, huh? Is it just me or does that cloud look like a Jew? I don't know. I'm not. I'm just a weatherman for Fox Weather. I can't tell.
Just a meteorologist. Anyway, let's go to the Klan hood for the warm weather update.
Like, this is happening at a time when the Weather Channel is, like, more openly acknowledging the effects of pollution and global warming and the apocalyptic situation that we're all in the midst of right now. Mm-hmm. And they've even, like, stated that, like, they're fully going to cover that as a main part of their weather narratives,
right,
of like the nine sickest tornadoes that threw a fucking tree at a house, which is what I see every time I go to the Weather Channel. But yeah, I mean, they have a long history of spreading, or at least Fox News has a long history of spreading climate related misinformation. They've been dismissive of the crisis. One climate scientist argued Fox News has been the greatest promoter of climate change disinformation over the past two decades, which is a hell of
a... like some hater shit, dude.
I mean, but that's... there's a lot. There's a lot of contributors to that. That's like...
It's top level when you're ranking groups.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at it, because the United States has such a oversized role in, for whatever reason, leading the earth into its own destruction, that when you have one channel that's speaking to one half of the government being like, it's fake.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess it is probably. Yeah, maybe it does deserve that title.
A little over a month ago, Fox News literally cut away from an emergency briefing on the deadly storm in New York because the topic of climate change came up. The Fox News, like, it was a Thursday morning New York briefing on the deadly storms and floods, and a Democratic congressman cited climate change as a factor.
And they immediately pulled away, and anchor Bill Hemmer grumbled, well, that turned political quite quickly. So, which isn't like also, you know, in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, only 4% of major network coverage even mentioned climate change. So it's not like they're alone in this, but they do seem to be coming at it from an angle of, you know, actively dismissing it as opposed to just politely ignoring it.
Right. That's amazing. To you pointed a camera at Congress and you're like, so political today. Where the hell are they? What is going on with this politics?
Yeah.
I mean, it might get to the point where the accepted wisdom is that it is climate change. And then there's going to be like, oh, there's a fire. Now we can't show that fire. That's too political.
Right.
there's a hurricane, not a political hurricane.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like eventually that's going to be how their coverage is dictated. They're trying to ignore everything at all costs.
Oh, we should start naming the hurricanes after Fox News anchors.
Tucker.
That'll shame them.
Yeah, that they would just like take that as a point of pride. That was a bad idea. Maybe my worst ever.
No. I'm, in fact, honored with the distinction of a massive weather system with the potential to alter the lives of millions.
Oh, fuck them. But our writer, Jan, was pointing out that, like, because they're claiming like, we're not going to not cover it. So Fox Weather, we're not going to not cover it. But even if they acknowledge it, it kind of creates this dystopian strategy where Fox News perpetuates climate change, which leads to more extreme weather, which in turn increases viewership for Fox Weather. Like, when you think about how this project was launched, there's almost no chance that they weren't like, well, the future of weather is going to be really bad because of climate change. Hence, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs there, you know?
I mean, you look, like they said, there's a picture of a burning building. Just fucking stay on it.
Yeah.
You know, just that's similar strategies. But I'm curious to see like what this weather coverage like.
Yeah.
Because like, how do you make it channels, patriotic? Yeah.
Right. The Weather Channel, like, at least has, you know, like, I like how they've sort of been evolving over the years to really help people, like, get, like, not have such an abstract idea of what, like, terrible weather is like. When they're like, okay, you know what a flood is? And they're like, here, with the computer graphics, I will show you what 6 foot of flooding looks like, what 8 feet of flooding looks like relative, like, to a street sign. And then people are like, oh.
Yeah.
So for sort of dumb people like me who don't like we're bad in science classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tremendously.
Absolutely.
And me, I need a movie like Moonfall to make it all
right.
click into place.
You got a movie about this? About the heat wave today?
It's already up and running. And I think people were like, they didn't actively say climate change isn't real in the first 6 hours, but you know, they haven't blamed rainstorms on immigrants yet, but that doesn't mean that their like faux apolitical posturing will be any less harmful in the long run.
Well, hurricanes, they come right up from the border, these hurricanes. Coyotes, but that's what you got to do. You got to stop it at the source.
Hey, man.
They start in Honduras and they take a very tumultuous journey with their children.
Right.
All the way. Some might say these hurricanes are bad parents putting their kids at risk.
Yeah. We need these walls to be damn 10 miles high. Block these storms. They can't. I want storms to come legally through our wall into our country.
Your mouth, you know, where they're Jesus' is ear. You know?
What was the thing Louis Gohmert said the other day about, he was talking to a scientist and he just had the most asinine suggestion. And they're like, that's not even physically possible, fool. I mean, I think we're very quickly approaching these kinds of just idiocracy solutions to climate change.
Yeah.
It's like, well, can we just stop the heat?
Right.
Like, with what? Make a big sunshade. You're like, oh shit.
What if we all leave our fridge door open for 10 years?
Build the shade. Like, what the fuck, you idiots? You think you put a big parasol over Florida is going to stop a hurricane?
That book, Freakonomics, like literally made me buy something very similar, like I think I read it in like high school or, you know, and they were like, yeah, you know, a lot of problems seemed really bad, but then like somebody solved it. Like people thought horse poop was going to like overwhelm our cities back before the invention of the car. And so like one of the things they're probably going to do is just like put a bunch of particulate matter in the atmosphere that will like block the sun's rays a little bit and like help us regulate temperature. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't have to worry about this for like 6 months. Turns out that's, yeah.
Block the not sun's true. Rays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, see, this is bad because we're all going to tune into Fox what just because we're like curious and then they're going to last forever. That first day, everybody's going to be like, what's this racist weather going to be like? And then it's too late. Made too much money.
Can you imagine, like, they just go too hard and even their own viewers like, look, I just want the weather, man.
Right.
Like, I watch Fox News for, like, my, like, to get my racist mouth watering. Right. I just want to know if it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
Please don't say critical race theory.
Yeah.
Caleb, as always, such a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you, follow you, watch you, all that good
stuff? Oh, yeah. You can find me on Twitter. I had to start over on Twitter. Because of some, I got banned. So follow me at Dumb Caleb. This is a good account. I'm not impersonating anyone. I didn't know anymore. You could pretend to be presidential candidates. I thought that was fun and funny. And
wait, really?
I saw other comics doing it. It was just fun. You change your profile picture and your name, and you're like, "Hey, I'm Trump. Yeah. I'm Biden." I thought it was fun, and then I got it took down. So now I'm Dumb Caleb, and it's just me on there. And I got a podcast called What's It Called? With Dave Ross, and it's really dumb and fun, but I love it. And so listen to that. And
what do you guys talk about?
We rename stuff a lot, and we don't know what our podcast is called, and it's just it's an excuse to riff. Like, we renamed Titanic, and we changed the name to Boat, and then we Photoshop, then we get on Twitter, and we're like, hey, if you have a dumb name for, like, for Home Improvement, and then, like, someone tweeted in, how about it was Home Depot. We were like, Home Depot. And someone renamed it Man's Labyrinth, and we laughed for 8 days.
That's great.
It's just super fun. And give it a listen. A lot of funny people tweet in.
What's it called again, the show?
What's it called?
Hey, and is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, so Twitter is like it's the worst website. It's amazing how... Facebook just is the worst. And then Twitter, like, I guess a lot of people just don't have it. But I saw a tweet, one of the tweets that makes me laugh so hard. I think about it sometimes. I love Steve Martin on there. I know he's an old guy, but one of his that made me laugh is, it was a quote tweet and from like NASA or something. It was, astronomers just found 20 new moons around Saturn. And he said, I knew about them last year, but who the hell's going to listen to me? I just think he's the funniest. He's still the funniest guy, but
that's so funny, man.
Yeah, Twitter can be a nightmare, but he's funny on there.
Yeah, it really can. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra, talking 90 Day Fiance. Let's see a tweet that I like. This one is from Jason Kander at Jason Kander. Just since we're talking about taxes, he's tweeted, Elon Musk, beware. If they can tax a billionaire like me, they can tax you regular people too. Regular people. We've been paying our taxes this whole time, bro. Which feels very much like the, like billionaires are realizing like, yeah, that doesn't work. We've been here.
That's amazing. Should we just call it like the best at capitalism tax? Is that just like some compliment in there that they're
award?
Just
not
like,
just stop saying tax.
Right? Yeah. Tax.
It's going to be like the most baller. It's called Who's Paying This Tab?
Right. Yeah.
Ballers Only Club.
There you
and
go.
And every week the Ballers Only Club has to gather and be like, because you know, like what was it, the UN or something? Food scarcity sort of subdivision was like, you know, like 2% of Elon Musk's wealth could wipe out global hunger. But
yeah.
Whatever, you know, and then you do it like that. You're like, okay, man, who's got the tab on global hunger? Who's got the tab on
right.
Like modernizing like irrigation in like sub-Saharan Africa. Who's got that tab? And then it's just all ballers making it rain. You know, that's what they need.
Yeah. If there's a rapper that could brag, like if DJ Khaled was like, I solved, you know, this bridge came from me. I was the guy that made that. Then it would be cool. It'd be cool to be like, oh, hell yeah, my taxes do shit.
Right. Right.
It's all about branding. You know,
yeah. Ballin' isn't about having three Rolls Royces. Ballin' is about giving people educational financial choices.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Improving the post office.
Like, can we just honeypot them? Like, put somebody who they're interested in it, romantically Grimes? In there? Like, ooh, yes. Grimes should have done this, but like, and then just like.
She's too busy reading marks by a street sign.
Right. Oh, and then just be like, hey, like, it's kind of fucked up that you haven't ended world hunger yet today. Like, that's.
Oh, right. Like Megan Fox or something.
Yeah.
I feel like Elon Musk secretly loves Megan Fox because he thinks Transformers is like the best film ever. He's like, I don't know, Elon. Are you weed? And he's like, yeah, I'm weed. I'm weed. I'm weed.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Let's see. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Maggie Winters tweeted, oh, great. Here comes James and his giant fucking peach.
Fuck that guy.
And Brody
Goop. Oh, my God.
Brody Goop tweeted, I could change Logan Roy.
Good luck.
Oh, that's great.
just groaning. He's yes, we've seen it, James. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. No, you're right. It's huge. It's fucking huge, man.
You don't have to bring it every time. It's all people you know. Like, they know about your piece, dude.
That's the best tweet I've ever heard.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website. You guys heard about these things?
No.
Called DailyZeitgeist.com. It's where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you should go check out, maybe. Miles, what's the song that we are sending people to go check out today?
So this is a, you know, a rapper, sort of multi-hyphenate artist.
Elon Musk.
Chunky, from the UK, but via Zimbabwe. And, you know, like in the grime scene and just... like all kinds of different music scenes, but this is a really dope track called Meh, M-E-H, because it kind of sums up the vibe right now. But the track is anything but meh. It's very, you know, it's just like that UK rap. I love the accent, I love the lingo, I like the production, and I think you will too. So go check out Meh by Chunky.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Met by Chunky. All right, well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, go visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever the hell you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.